Good evening. It's good to see everybody back this evening. We welcome you. I've found some things in my life. I've lived 70 years on this earth, and I've been a Christian for over 50 years. And there's times in my life that I get to the point where I think I can't learn anything. Well, I've got news for you. In daily walk of life and in Christian life, it seems like every time I turn around, something happens to me to where I have to learn or want to learn, or someone teaches me something new. In the last couple months, I've had four occasions rise up in my life that had to deal with relationships and righteous relationships. And I've been in a study over this for the last couple months, and as I studied it, there's so many passages and so many verses that describe what needs to be done or addresses the situations. And Paul's letters, and pick one, he addresses relationships in every letter. So with that being said, I settled in on the book of Romans. There's two chapters there that deal with what I needed to learn. I'm going to share that with you, what I learned. There are chapters 12 and chapter 14. And we're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. I understand that. It's not something I usually do. But Paul lays it out and explains it so much better than I can. And it's so much plainer than what I could do it. If you look at the book of Romans, it's Paul's greatest work. And in this book, he records some of the most systematic presentation of doctrine that is in the entire Bible. Romans is more than a book of theology. It's also a book of practical exhortation. The good news of Jesus is more than facts to be believed. It is also a life to be lived, a life of righteous befitting the person, justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. With that being said, that's why I'm just pretty much going to let Paul speak tonight through me. Paul spoke God's words. I'm going to speak God's words that Paul gave us. And then we'll kind of recap what has transpired and what he said. So with that, we're going to start in Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Again, he lays out things that are pretty simple for us. Verses 1 and 2, it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Two key things here. Do not be conformed to the world. We all understand, we all know we have to live in the world, but we don't want to be conformed to it. We don't want to become a part of it. We need to be transformed by renewing our mind. So in other words, this is a righteous spiritual relationship. This is, Paul's laid out very simply what we need to do to be right with God. One is don't be conformed to the world. Two is transform your mind so that you may prove what is good. Secondly, starting with verse 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we know, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberty. He who leads, with diligence. He who sows mercy, with cheerfulness. This is a righteous social relationship that Paul's talking about here. He's laid out three different basic things in this text. One is, he say we all have different functions. All right, we also know that from Ephesians chapter 4. We've all got different talents. He tells us that we need to use those. Don't set them aside. He tells us that we're one body. We understand that. We're all part of God's kingdom. That's one body. But he also tells us we're still individuals. So even though we're one body, we still are individuals as far as some of our actions. And then he says that these gifts that are given to us, these different functions that we have available to us, use them. It's pretty plain and simple. Continuing on with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And verse 21, he said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As we live in life, sometimes that last statement's hard. And that's why he started this whole thing, to make sure that our mind is right. You know, there was a movie, I don't know how many of you watched Cool Hand Luke, with Paul Newman. And he was continually, he got thrown in prison, he was continually in trouble. And they would make him do things. For instance, dig a hole out in the yard and then fill the hole back in, to get his mind right so that he would tend to what they wanted him to do. And his comment was, boss, I got my mind right. Can we look at God tonight and say, boss, I got my mind right? That's the question we need to ask. And that's where Paul set all this up with righteous spiritual relationships. He set the whole context of what we're talking about tonight. Because if our mind isn't right, if we're conformed to the world, then everything else we're talking about is not going to happen. So what I learned in this passage from verses 9 to the end of the chapter, we need to love without hypocrisy. It needs to be genuine. We need to cling to what is good. Abhor evil, he says. Again, sometimes some of these things and I told you, you know, in 70 years of life, as I walk through life, some of these things are hard for me to deal with. But when I have instances come up in my life, I know that no matter what it is, I can go to Scripture to find an answer. So even though I've got an answer, it might not be the easiest thing in the world for me to take care of. You know, we've all heard the phrase, I'm a work in progress. Yeah, well, that's me, still at 70 years of age. I'm still learning, I'm still growing. Not only in my walk in everyday life, but my walk in my Christian life. So cling to what is good. Be kind to each other. Okay, now there's a whole bunch of stuff that can come in behind this. Gossip is one. Angry words are another. No patience is another. And these are all things we need to practice on. I need to practice on. Be kind to each other. Be patient. Be steadfast in prayer. I see, you know, I'm on Facebook with my wife's Facebook page, and I see so many people say, well, you're in my thoughts and prayers. I hear it on television. I watch the sports. I hear you're in my thoughts and prayers. Really? It's not for me to question, but I do. Because I think a lot of that is just, in my mind, I got to believe there's some of these people, because I know them, have never prayed in their life. And yet they'll put out there, you're in my thoughts and prayers, to look good to whoever's asking for prayers. Well, that's not going to work. When Paul says, be steadfast in prayer, that goes back to these first two verses. Your mind's got to be set right. You've got to be able to speak to God. You've got to be able to tell him and ask him what you want, especially in your spiritual needs. We look at Solomon. He prayed for wisdom. He got wisdom. How do we, and wisdom is simply an ability to put your knowledge to work. So how are we going to put this knowledge to work if we don't have wisdom? How are we going to understand and have wisdom if we don't pray to God and ask him for understanding? So when I have instances come up in my life, I go to God and I say, okay, come on, help me out here. Direct me, give me some guidance in where I can find my answers. And invariably, they're there. If you let him work through you, they're there. So be steadfast in that prayer. I think, too, a lot of times we go to God and we ask for things, and then when they're given to us, we forget to thank him. We as kids can fall guilty in that. We as adults to our parents can fall guilty in that. We ask for things, they give it to us, and then we go, okay, so long, thanks. But we forget to really thank him. We forget to really say, I appreciate what you did for me. We go to God, we ask prayers for sick, and we ask for strength, and we ask for comfort. And he gives those things, and then where are we? We're not coming back and saying, thank you, God. I really appreciated what you did for me to help me through this. And I'm as guilty as everybody else. But this is being steadfast in prayer. Be of the same mind toward one another, spiritually. We need to be on the same page. We need to be doing the same thing as what God wants us to do. And again, Paul lays this out pretty simply. We all understand what being of the same mind means. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Opinions are okay. Everybody's got opinions. But when it comes to God's word, there's my opinion, there's your opinion, and there's God's word. And usually it's somewhere in between. And again, I've found this, I've learned this, and yet it's hard to practice. I'm an A personality. Most of you know that. Sometimes I'm pretty hard to convince that I'm not right. My wife will just attest to that better than anybody. But sometimes I'm not. Sometimes it's not just in life, but it's in my Christian walk. Even though I've got 50 years of experience of being a Christian, I'm not always right. And sometimes it's tough to admit that. But God will straighten you out if you let him. And I want to go back to verses 18 and 19. Because Paul says here, if, he's big at using this word if and but. All right? He says, now if it is possible. He says, basically saying, I understand that not all times can this happen. Okay? But if it is possible, and as much depends on you, that's me. Okay? So he's saying, if this is possible, and a lot of it's going to depend on you, all right? Live peaceably with all men. Well, come on, Paul. There's just people I don't like. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, if it's possible, and probably it's going to depend as much on you to live peaceably with all men. Sometimes you've got to bend your own idea and your own opinion to get along. We have a saying, go along to get along. Well, that's okay in the everyday world. That's not okay in Christianity. But he says, as much as possible, do this as possible. And then he says, beloved, it's like, come on. Do not avenge yourself. All right, so somebody's wronged me. Well, I'm going to get you. Bruce uses this a lot. I like it. I'm going to get you. Well, Paul says here, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Why can't we let him do that? Why do we have to take it upon ourselves to get somebody? You know, there's people that say, well, karma. Karma will come around. Karma will take care of it. Well, it's not karma, it's God. He will take care of it in due time. Might not be in our time, but it's in His time. Okay? Let's go to chapter 14. We'll start 1 through 8. Paul says here, he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or befalls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. It's a very simple plan here. We need to accept each other's differences. That's what's being said here. There's a whole bunch of terminology here. But when you separate it all out, we need to accept each other's differences. Verses 9 through 18. For to this end Christ died. Excuse me. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. I'm going to reread a little bit of this because some of it needs to be kind of highlighted. In 13 he says, therefore don't judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. He's talking about spiritual matters. Now, in resolving, that means going to one-on-one, that means going to your brother or sister if you have some problems. Don't judge them outside. And if you got a problem, and we see, you know, there's other passages, if we don't get it solved, then we take it before three or four men. And if that doesn't resolve, we take it before a congregation. Okay? That's all that. But when he says, therefore, don't judge one another anymore, that doesn't mean not to judge righteously. That means not to judge what he's eaten or what day he wants to celebrate or any of that's what you're not to judge. Not to judge the mind and the conscience on everyday matters. But on righteous and religious matters, absolutely. And we have God's word to judge. We don't have to. But rather receive this and don't put a stumbling block or a cause for your brother to fall. Stop and think about that for a minute. I'm going to relate a story to you. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. When we were attending in Victory Road, I'm going back to the late 80s, early 90s. I sold water treatment equipment. Most of my sales were canvassed. knocking door to door on all these new homeowners that were moving into town, which were abundant back then. Well, I wore shorts in the summertime and when it was nice outside, and, you know, a sports shirt. That was my garb. I worked down in Green Valley, which was, I dubbed it Yuppieville. And it was, and it still is. Only now the yuppies are old. But I'd go to services on Wednesday night out of the field in shorts. I'm thinking nothing about it. One night I had a lady come to me out in the parking lot, just me and her. And she said, you know, you're wearing shorts. She said, it doesn't really offend me, but I don't like it. It was causing her to stumble. Okay, rather than question her, I said, okay, not a problem. I'll quit wearing shorts. Nothing scripturally wrong with me wearing shorts. Nothing in the Bible telling me that I had to do that other than this verse. Don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother. Okay, so my question at that time, and I've resolved it since, but my question at that time, what if I didn't like the way she had her hair fixed? Should I say to her, I'm sorry, I don't like the way you fix your hair. It's causing me to stumble. That comes back to the verse, don't take revenge. Sometimes we just have to do something scripturally and religiously that is right, whether we think it is or not. Okay, go to chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. I'm just going to pause there for a second, take that verse in. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That's talking about the Old Testament and prophecy. That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to the reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about the Gentiles. And it's talking about Jesus, as he died on the cross, became a Savior for all. Now, basically what Paul's saying here is we need to accept one another. He was telling it to the church in Rome. The church in Rome was made up both of Jews and Gentiles. It was probably, there were several congregations within Rome, but there was a lot of Christians in Rome. And as most of you know, in the early first century church, there was a lot of problem between Jews and Gentiles because the Jews were coming out of a mindset that they were the chosen people. And now once Christ hung on the cross, once that blood was shed, now the Gentiles, through obedience, can also become chosen people, just like we are. And that was creating a problem for the Jews. And that was the reason Paul laid things out so simply in this whole book of Romans. A lot of people make it difficult. It really isn't that difficult to understand Romans. If you get Romans, you get the Bible. Okay? And it's not that easy. It's not that difficult to understand. So Paul's laid it out very simply so that the Jews can understand you got to treat everybody equal because that's what God wants. You got to not put things in front of your brother that are going to cause him to stumble. Circumcision was a big thing to the Jews. But when Christ died on the cross, the circumcision became the piercing of the heart with God's word, not a medical procedure. So these are things that they were dealing with. Now, with that, I'm going to put the lesson in your hands. I know there's more study that can be done in these two chapters. There's chapters, the chapter in between that also addresses some other types of relationships. But these are the ones that I wanted to deal with. These are the questions that I had that I need to go to the scriptures and find out answers for. And tonight I've shared with you probably just a portion of what I've learned, but the portion that became easy for me to understand and easy for me to teach others are these two chapters in Romans. With that, I'll end with this. We all have different quirks. We all have different personalities. We all have different likes and dislikes. We are one religiously, and yet we are individuals. Let us respect that. If there's anyone here that needs to put their Lord on a baptism tonight, we have the water ready for that. If you've heard the word, you accept the word, you believe it, you're willing to confess and repent and go into a watery baptism, come out anew and live righteously the rest of your life, then you need to be baptized. If there's anyone here that needs prayers, we've got difficulties in our life, whatever it might be, just in our study tonight, we know prayers are answered. God says so. If you doubt that, then you doubt your faith. So if there's anybody, any kind of a need at all, let it be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.